The passage 1 Corinthians 13:8-13 speaks about tongues, prophecy, knowledge, faith, hope and love. They are all shown here at the beginning of this timeline, which starts around 55 AD, when 1 Corinthians was written. Verse 8 tells us that tongues, prophecy and knowledge will cease at some point in time, and this leaves faith, hope and love to remain, as stated in verse 13. As we move along in time, we reach a point where Jesus will return, and when he does, faith and hope will cease, as I will now show. Regarding faith, the verses in red tell us that faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see, and that we live by faith, not by sight. So when we see Jesus, our faith will be fulfilled and come to an end. Also, 1 Peter 1:9 says, "You are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So when Jesus returns and we are changed into his likeness, our faith will cease because the goal of our faith, that is our salvation, will be completed. Regarding hope, the verses shown here tell us that we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Saviour Jesus Christ. So when we see Jesus, our hope will be fulfilled and cease, because hope that is seen is no hope at all. From these verses, we can see that our faith and hope will both be fulfilled and cease when Jesus returns, and love, the greatest of all, will continue on eternally. As we examine this timeline, it is quite plain to see that this point in time, when tongues, prophecy and knowledge cease, is before this point in time, when Jesus returns and faith and hope cease. 1 Corinthians 13:11 gives further proof of this. Verse 11 says, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." There is a very obvious connection between the putting away of the three items in this verse and the cessation of the three gifts of tongues, prophecy and knowledge mentioned in verse 8. When we take this connection into account, we see that this verse is saying, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, tongues. I thought like a child, knowledge. I reasoned like a child, prophecy. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." Putting away childish ways and becoming a man is referring to maturing in the faith, which happens as we study the Bible and grow in our faith. We are not waiting for Jesus to return to suddenly mature. So we can see that Paul is saying that he put away the so-called childish gifts of tongues, prophecy and knowledge as he was coming to maturity in the faith. Clearly, this must have happened, otherwise no one, including Paul, would have ever matured in the faith. That is, we would all remain immature babes in Christ until Jesus returns. So this verse solidly backs up the timeline in showing that tongues, prophecy and knowledge cease before Jesus returns. The final verses to look at are verses 9, 10 and 12, and we need to take note of a few things before examining them. Firstly, the coming of the perfect is only relative to prophecy and knowledge, and has nothing whatsoever to do with any other gifts, including tongues. Tongues was included in verse 8, but is excluded from verses 9 and 10. Secondly, the Bible is wholly prophecy and knowledge. It starts out with the knowledge of creation in Genesis and finishes with the prophecy of end times in Revelation, and in between it is purely prophecy and knowledge. Thirdly, the word perfect in verse 10 is neuter, so it can't be referring to Jesus, and it can be translated as complete. And lastly, when 1 Corinthians was written around 55 AD, the Bible was incomplete. It was in part, and this of course means that prophecy and knowledge were in part also. With these points in mind, it is not hard to see that the perfection of verses 9 and 10 pointed to the yet-to-come complete Bible, so I will read and interpret the verses in that context. 1 Corinthians 13:9 and 10 say, "For we know in part, because knowledge is incomplete, and we prophesy in part, because prophecy is incomplete. But when perfection comes, that is, when the perfect completed Bible comes, the imperfect disappears. That is, the in-part gifts of prophecy and knowledge cease." The cessation of prophecy and knowledge fits perfectly with the fact that the Bible cannot be added to today. The last verse to look at is 1 Corinthians 13:12, which says, Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. Let us now look at the reference to a mirror, seeing face to face, and knowing fully. Regarding the reference to a mirror, the mirrors in Paul's day were made of polished brass and gave a poor reflection compared with today's mirrors. In James 1:23-24 it says, "Anyone who listens to the word, the Bible, but does not do what it says, is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." In this verse, James likens listening to the word of God to looking in a mirror. Then in verse 25 he says, "But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom, the Bible, and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." In this verse, the Bible is described as the perfect law that gives freedom, and the word perfect is the same Greek word that is used in 1 Corinthians 13:10, where it talks about the coming of the perfect. So we can see that mirrors are associated with the perfect word of God, and just as the brass mirrors of that time gave a poor reflection, the incomplete Bible gave a relatively poor reflection of God's salvation plan. Regarding seeing face to face, Exodus 33:11-20 tell us that Moses talked to God face to face without actually seeing his face. In the same way, the Bible brings us face to face with God and our sinful soul without us seeing his face. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The living word of God and the witness of the Holy Spirit bring us face to face with God and gives us a clear reflection of our sinful soul, just like the clear reflection we get from today's mirrors. Regarding knowing fully, this has nothing to do with knowing God fully, as that will never occur. The verse does not say that we will know God fully, but that we will know something fully. That something is God's full revelation of his plans and purpose for mankind, as well as a full knowledge of ourselves and what God requires of us. Through the Bible we can fully know these things, just as we are fully known by God. With these thoughts in mind, 1 Corinthians 13:12 can be seen to say, "Now, in 55 AD, we see but a poor reflection, as in a brass mirror, because the Bible is in part. Then, when we have the perfect Bible, we shall see face to face. Now, with an incomplete Bible, I know in part. Then, with the full Bible, I shall know God's plan and myself fully, even as I am fully known by God." So we can see that prophecy and knowledge ceased when the last book of the Bible was written. But when did tongues cease? We know from the timeline that tongues must cease before Jesus returns. And 1 Corinthians 13:11 tells us that tongues, prophecy and knowledge would cease with the early church, because Paul was talking about putting them away as he went on to maturity. The verb used in 1 Corinthians 13:8 regarding tongues ceasing is in the middle voice, and this means that tongues would cease automatically. Because tongues were simply a sign of judgment to the Jews, as stated in 1 Corinthians 14:21-22, the gift would have ceased automatically when the sign had served its purpose. Some say that the gift would have ceased in 70 AD when Jerusalem was destroyed, or even earlier, but if not then the gift would certainly have ceased when the Bible was completed, because the sign would have well and truly served its purpose by then. No one can give a date of its cessation, but it would certainly have been in the first century. In the next video, I would like to look closer at tongues being a sign, as well as the thought that tongues is a prayer or angelic language, and also look at some objections, such as Paul said not to forbid speaking in tongues. May the Lord bless you as you walk with him. Amen.